The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
You know, sometimes I start off with a totally different story than I walked in here with. The Lord moves and says some things, and this last song that we sing reminded me of videos. I got caught in one of those spirals on the internet. I don't know if you ever get on Facebook, you start watching one video, and then you watch the next, and then you watch the next, and the next. Before you know it, a couple hours have gone by. Instead of watching TV, you've been watching little short videos. And this particular group was a group doing testimonies. They were giving testimonies. It would be individuals talking, and one of them was Tucker Carlson was interviewing Russell Brand about his conversion to Christ. And I don't know if you've seen that, and that was a great video worth watching. That's a pretty bad moral actor that gave his life to Jesus that is telling everybody about Christ now. And that was a great interview. And that rolled into another one and about this boy that went to this convention. It was like a sci-fi convention, particularly just to share the gospel. And then another one did something else. And one particular one was a guy went to a restaurant because he was going to, on Christmas Day, he gave the year, it was going to be his last day of his life. He was going to go out to eat, have a nice meal, go home and take his life. And that was a pretty somber, tragic beginning of this testimony. And as he got through the story, he said he stood in line at this restaurant, and it was too long of a line to wait to do what he wanted to get done that day. So he went to the front of the line and said, "If I buy your lunch, can I walk in with you, and we'll sit together and have our meal together?" So as they, he did that, he bought his meal, they sat down to begin to talk, and before this guy who was there on his last day could begin to talk, the other man began to tell him all the terrible things that was going on in his life. How his wife had just left him, he was all alone, he had lost his job, he was going broke. I mean, all these terrible things that could happen. And the boy said that I began to compare my problems with his problems, and I was a lot better off than he was, and there might be some hope for me. So he went on to talk about how the Lord came to him, spoke to him, how he came to Jesus and got hope in life, found purpose for living. And what we're going to look at in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is laying out the purpose for his existence. Not just him, but us, as he's talking about how God has called him out and called the church out, he speaks specifically to his purpose, what God has made him for, and what drives him, what makes him get up and go out in the morning and do what he does every day. And it's pretty clear from this passage that his should be very, very similar, if not the same words, to ours. We have a purpose statement in Colossians chapter 1. Now, I, being somebody who went to college in the 80s and actually went to business school and out of business school on into working corporations, I heard a lot of talk, and it really rained over business talk for quite a few years, that you could not function as an organization, and not even an organization, a department, just the little segment of people who work in your section of a department. You had to have a purpose statement. Now, that transferred over into churches. I don't know if this church has rewritten your purpose statement several times over history. It happens a lot. A new pastor comes in. By the way, this is me speaking an interim pastor sermon today. This is one of those things you've got to talk about to get church ready for the next phase, the next purpose that they're going to have. You may have a pastor come in here. He's all fired up about getting the church to find their purpose. And you break out the statement. It may be on, may put it up on the wall. You might broadcast it each week in his sermon before he talks. It might be written in the bulletin, helping the church to get focused what their purpose is. So when I first came into collegiate ministry in Louisiana as a state director, I wanted to make sure we got some things clear. coming out of that business background, I wanted to make sure that we said, this is who we are, this is what we're doing. So we laid down these four pillars of who we are as an organization, and that those four pillars held up the purpose statement is we're to make Jesus known to students. But the four pillars are, we reach them with the gospel, we strengthen them in their walk and their faith, we connect them to the local church, and we mobilize them for missions. Reach, connect, strengthen, mobilize. That's who we are. So when I speak to a crowd, it's not hard for me to be called on a Monday morning and say, can you come speak to our luncheon and tell us a little bit about what you're doing? I say, yeah, I've got 4 points. Here are the 4 points about what we do. The pillar has been laid for who we are. Now, there are some organizations that have purpose statements that don't always connect down to the employee. And I found some purpose statements written by employees that were a rewriting of their company's purpose statements. We'll read a couple of them to you. Our team's function is to make ourselves look important by slowing down the work you do in a demonstration of the pseudo-authority we possess. I don't know if that makes sense. I've been accused of that. Here's one. We are an assembly of random teams and staff with nothing in common who exist but whose value is not fully understood or appreciated even by our own leadership. Well, there's some people that are disgruntled here. Our mission is the next one. Our mission is to make everyone else look bad by pointing out their mistakes and flaws so that we look better than they do. Now, I can't read some of these to you because the language is pretty salty. People don't always know what they exist for and why they do what they do, and we find purpose and meaning when we have a focus and direction that we want to go, we know is the right way to go. So Colossians 1, 28, the Apostle Paul says this, and we're going to break down the little segments of the sentences and look how that fits to this church. Paul writes, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. That's his claim. That's what he is saying to the church. This is who I am. I'm proclaiming Jesus. The very foundation of his preaching and teaching and living and traveling and everything he does is to proclaim Jesus, to lift Jesus up, to exalt him, to say, this is who he is. You may have seen that TV series that would show buildings and cities what they would look like after 100 years of neglect, when nature took over again. If nature were to take over this building, the grass would grow, limbs would, or vines would get a hold of the bricks, and eventually the bricks would decay, and the parts of the building would rot. Maybe there were a leak would happen in the roof somewhere in this building, and through that leak, water would seep down to all parts, and things would rot that you couldn't see, but eventually they would fall in. And that paints a pretty bad picture of the future of this church, doesn't it? 100 years from now. This church, if it does not do what this verse says, it will spiritually be that rotten building. You yourself will be the same. Churches do go through life cycles. They go through times when they flourish and they grow and they are beaming as a light into the community. Then they decline and maybe they come back again and resurrect. And it depends on the leadership of the church, how they go. The direction. It depends on the banner that flies over that church, whether it's the banner of Jesus or not. Of all the travel I've done around the country, there's some, I like to go into old churches, and I want to tell you some of you may have been in churches just like this if you travel. I'll go and visit one, and it's something totally different than it was intended to be. There's a church in Colorado close to a ski resort that I've been to that is now an antique store. You walk in, and I don't mean like antiques of value. I mean it's a junk store. It's got junk, got a junk booth in this corner. Right next to it's another junk booth. This right next to that is a booth full of scarves, and right next to that is a booth full of things that people couldn't sell in a garage sale. And then there's some crystals and stuff like that over there, someone trying to sell crystals and rocks. And then, can you see the kind of place it is? That church has long since departed from its purpose. That building is no longer used for what it's intended to do. I've walked in a church in Canada, and I believe it was in Montreal, in this particular place. And that church, that once great, beautiful cathedral that was a beacon of the gospel to all the community there, is now a great big trampoline park. You can bounce around. You can jump up and down. Some of us say they might have went charismatic. That purpose is lost. I've been in some that are restaurants, some that are houses, some are bed and breakfast, some are hotels. They've lost their purpose. Churches that are still alive with people in them begin to drift that direction by shifting their purpose to be on something that is not important. It may be important for the moment, but the overall purpose of being a beacon for Christ in a community dissipates because they're more concerned about that lunch they have every Tuesday. They're having lunch. It's a community meeting. They're going to all get together and they're going to do this thing. Maybe we're going to play cards. Maybe we're going to watch a movie and talk about it. Maybe we're just going to sit around and play dominoes. Whatever we're going to do, this community activity that is good in and of itself becomes the purpose of that church. Maybe it becomes a food outreach center. And all the downstairs rooms in this, say it was this building, all the downstairs rooms were full of groceries that were going to be distributed, and that's a great thing. That's something you could be doing to help the community. But while you're doing that, that animal gets so large it overtakes the purpose of the church. Can you see that happening? It can also happen in your personal life, where you are doing great things, doing all that you can think that's right in your community. You may be a public servant in office. You might be a person that does Rotary. You might be a person that works with the school board. You're involved in all kinds of very good things, and they become so important to you that's more important than the very reason you were created. The very reason you were created is to know Jesus and to make Him known. To know Jesus and make Him known. And Paul says it's Him we proclaim. It's Him we proclaim. Let's go back and look earlier in the verse 15. Chapter 1, verse 15. He does a great job, by the way, of laying out who Jesus is. Colossians 1 is one of the pinnacle passages of all of Scripture speaking about the person of Jesus. Christ is the invisible image, is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation, for through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and, what does it say after that? For Him. He did it for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. And He is the beginning, the supreme over all who rise from the dead. So He is the first in everything. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. Paul is saying, this Paul that was on his way to persecute the church met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He saw the bright light that blinded him. He spoke with Jesus. And when God spoke to him, he was plucked out of his sinful, angry, murderous life and brought into ministry. Of being a minister of the gospel. He was brought into following Jesus and knowing Jesus. And Paul lays out in Colossians, he says, my purpose, my foundation is to proclaim Jesus. The very purpose for this church is to proclaim Jesus. And any time that becomes number two, this church begins to die. When something else is put above that, you begin to die. Anytime anything in your life is put above that, you begin to drift away from God. You put your kids above Jesus, and you will drift from God. You put your work above the Lord, you will drift from God. You put your schooling, you put your spouse, you put your search for a spouse, whatever it might be, above the Lord, above Jesus, above Him being central in your life, you will decay spiritually. You'll drift. You know, pastors, by the way, in the search committee, we pray for them all the time. They're responsible for calling someone here that is a person, an agent of the gospel, a person that cares about Jesus above all else and lives for Him and walks for him, with Him, and is called to ministry and is not about promoting themselves. You know, some of the worst advice I ever got from a minister in ministry is, he said to me, we were in this long van ride. It was all a bunch of young ministers and this one old guy driving the van, and he was talking, we were getting advice, and he was asking us about our futures. And he said, one of the best pieces of advice I can give you is you better promote yourself because nobody else is going to. Well, that seems to sound a little crazy, doesn't it? Now, I know what he was trying to say. He was trying to say you need to let people know who you are. You need to promote whatever you are doing so that it markets you for the future, so someone else out there can see you and hire you in a different position, in a higher up position. Doesn't that sound very unlike missions and ministry? It's very unlike it. This person today is still active, retired, and in that retirement is still promoting himself. Still promoting himself. That's the mistake we make as believers, is putting ourselves before the very foundation of who we are, and that is Jesus. When people drive by this building, they should be able to think, because of all that's been done, all that's been said, all that has happened through this church, they should think that is a family of Jesus there. Not that one pastor hurt my feelings that time. Now, did you hear that scandal that happened over there? Do you know that they think that they're better than us? You know, none of that needs to be what's thought when people walk by. The first thought is Jesus. That's what emanates from this building, is Jesus. Paul said, it's Him we proclaim. Second thing he says is we are warning everyone. We're warning everyone. It is the responsibility of a believer in Jesus to say to people the direction that you are going is away from God, and it leads to an eternity of suffering. So we have a responsibility to be evangelistic. We should be people that have tailgate parties at football games, for the whole purpose is to tell people that they can have hope in Christ. They can trust Him. We're to warn everybody. To warn everybody about what is to come. And then you have teaching. These are two things. The second thing, after Paul gave the purpose, he gave the tools. First tool was warning. The second one is teaching. You need to be people that teach. If I ask you to start a Bible study today in your home or in this building on a weekday, what would you teach? How would you do that? Would you go to the bookstore, which doesn't exist anymore? Are there Christian bookstores anywhere close around? I think the internet killed that. So you go online, go on christianbooks.com or lifeway.com or even on Amazon or whatever it might be, and you find a Christian Bible study book and you order it, and you go through that, and you prepare and you say, this is what I'm going to teach, and it helps you, you gather people around that so that you can teach that particular teaching by that particular piece of literature. That's one thing that you do. You can gather people together and read the Bible. It's cheap. We already got one. You've got one in your house. You can pick that Bible up. You can go to Colossians chapter 1, and you can talk about Jesus. You can have them all read that passage of Scripture together, or you can read it out, or ask one person in the room that's really good at reading to read about five or six verses of that, and you can stop and say, now what does the Lord, what is he trying to say to us in that passage? And you just talk about it every week. You can do that. You could teach the Word, and then you could teach wisdom that you've learned from the Word. That wisdom from the Word would be how it applies. How have you applied that in your life? This is how it's applied to me. And this is what you can say as you lead someone. It does not have to be a great big group of people. It could be one person. You could meet at lunch break across a table in a break room, and you could talk with someone about the Lord one day a week, and you are teaching about Jesus. Our call is to be teachers. We proclaim Jesus, we warn everybody, and we teach them with all wisdom. Now here's what the end goal of that. The end goal of that is not so we can gather that together and tell those numbers up and tell everybody about those numbers. May 1st, every year, I send out a form to all of my campuses, to all my staff. And that form says, it's a long form. It's like the annual church profile. Have anybody ever looked at an annual church profile, ACP? Shame on you. Somebody does. I imagine Karen does it downstairs. She does it. Annual church profile. It says how many people have been in Sunday school, how many have come to worship, what your annual giving is, all those kind of things, all the baptisms. You fill that out and send it in. I send one to my staff, and these are the things that are said. How many students do you have in leadership? How many did you train in cooperative program? Did you tell them what the cooperative program is? How many students accepted Christ this year? How many non-students accepted Christ this year? How many Bible studies are on campus? How many? And it goes on. There's a list of about 30 questions. And they gather that together. And by the way, that forms statistics. And you've heard liars use statistics, and statistics make liars. Well, what people are tempted to do is embellish those numbers. Add a little bit to that. Say a little bit more than it really is. And then some are very humble, and they want to report less than it actually happened, because they want to be humble in what they present. That is not the purpose for our existence. We don't exist to be able to have these Bible studies, do these things, have these worship services, so we can tell the world how great we are. Don't exist for that. We exist to proclaim Jesus. And we exist to teach Scripture. And we exist to share wisdom. But we exist in Paul's plan here, when all that happens, is to present people mature in Christ, to be beyond where they started, to help them get better. Anybody watch any football this weekend? Watch football, raise your hand. Anybody surprised how good Nichols did against LSU? Yeah, they did pretty good. All the commentaries, there's going to be plenty of commentaries. Some of them are going to say the team's young, they haven't gotten to the point they need to, they need to grow a little bit, need to be tested by fire, they're not strong physically enough, they need to grow stronger. This is a thing people say about people who are not quite developed, is they need to get stronger. The body of Christ needs to get stronger. Always. Always. Now, this church here, you've developed for many, many years. You've grown. You know the Word. You can teach the Word better than I can. You know things. But there's always room for growth. And there's for sure room for growth in the people you have influence over. We are to present everyone mature in Christ. In this last sentence, he says, for this I toil. This is why I work. This is why I do what I do. So people will know Jesus and they'll grow in him. And you may get weary. You might get tired. I heard one famous preacher say yesterday when I was listening to him talk about another topic at a conference. He said there should not be anything, such a thing as burnout. Burnout means that that you're lazy. It was wrong thinking, by the way. And that your priorities are wrong. No, toil makes you tired. Physical work, constant doing of things makes you tired. What he's trying to say is there should not be burnout in your relationship with Jesus, because that brings you joy and life every day of your life. Paul's saying, Jesus is the reason I work. I have people ask me all the time, do you ever get tired of driving 90 miles to church and 90 miles home? And I say, no, I do not. I don't. I do get tired of meetings. I do get tired of meetings. I get tired of accounting. I do a bunch of that. I get tired of telling people to fix things. I get tired of yard work. You ever get tired of yard work? I get tired of yard work. Don't get tired about telling people about Jesus. That's the reason that we toil. For this I toil. Struggling with all, and here's why you can do this, by the way. He makes it real clear to us. Paul does everything he does with his energy. All this I do was with the power of the Holy Spirit. All that you do is with the power of the Holy Spirit. And your energy comes from him. Your energy to get up and go do things and work for the Lord and share for the Lord and lead Bible studies and show up for Sunday school when maybe only one or two people show up, or come and work vacation Bible school when you should have passed that off to someone in their 20s years ago. You do it because you're called to do it, and you do it because that's your joy, and you do it with the energy that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you'll do it till you draw your last breath, because all your energy comes from him. And then he says, this is what this energy does to me. He works powerfully within me. Works powerfully within me. Now, I like two different kinds of foods. And I bet y'all, almost all of y'all like the first kind. And I bet almost none of you like the second kind. Okay, the first kind I like a lot is fried chicken. I think if you were to take a blood sample of me right now, there would be some fried chicken in my blood. I'm not even supposed to eat it. How many of us like fried chicken? We like it always, don't we? Like it home cooked. Probably the best fried chicken I ever had was it started off as a whole chicken in the kitchen, and somebody cut it up in little pieces and fried it. That was probably the best one. But I will take some fried chicken from a gas station. It's not bad either. That's one kind. That second kind of food that I eat, that I bet almost nobody here likes, it's called a poke bowl. You know what a poke bowl is? Okay, you probably had a poke bowl. It starts off with rice, which I have to ask them not to put in there. And then on they lay down a bed of lettuce. On top of that, they put a bunch of different kinds of vegetables. It may have seaweed in it. It might have all kinds of stuff. And then it has little cubes of raw tuna. Sounds gross, doesn't it? Sounds gross. And maybe it's got some shrimp in there, too. And they make them different ways. And if you eat it in a Latin style, it might have lime juice on it. If you eat it in a Hawaiian style, it might have this might be called ponzu sauce. It's made that way, and it tastes great to me. I'll be this fall. By the way, I complained about meetings. I have to go to a meeting in Honolulu in October. It's terrible. Y'all feel bad for me, all right? I'll go there. I'll eat one of those almost every day. And what it does when I eat one of those things, it's not the flavor that I like as much as it is for about 2 hours afterwards, I have an energy that I don't have the rest of the day. It's like I've had a vitamin times 10 and a whole bunch of caffeine. It just gives me energy. Somewhere deep inside, it gives me energy. Paul says, this work for the gospel, this Holy Spirit that's in me, this purpose of exalting Jesus is powerful within me from deep down inside. It helps me get things done. Helps me accomplish what I'm called to do in life. Now, there's a temptation for everybody who ministers. Sunday school teachers, committee leaders, music directors, pastors, deacons. There's a temptation to do everything yourself in your own power. And you may be smart enough to do some things great for the Lord. But you will never be powerful enough if you do it in your own self. You can only do it through the Holy Spirit. The weakest person with the power of the Holy Spirit in their life is stronger than the strongest person that's basing everything in their own intellect, in their own ability. So all the way back full circle to watching those videos. I'm watching these videos and I'm watching college students do some things that I'm not sure I would do, because I'm old and more cautious. They're not cautious at all. They'll just take the word where the Lord tells them. They'll go through places that the doors aren't open and open the doors and share the gospel. And they don't know what they don't know. And because they don't know what they don't know, they are being used by the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish things for the glory of God and not the glory of themselves. I want to be there. Do you want to be there? Where everything you do is in the power of Jesus and exalts Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Paul's call to ministry and how he makes it so clear and how he's made such an impact on the world that thousands of years we're still talking about it. Not just us, but all over this world right now, at this very hour, people are telling words from Scripture that you used the Apostle Paul to write through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that this church would be a church that would exalt Jesus above all things. That we not be concerned about our branding, not be concerned about our purpose as the building, but we could be concerned about our purpose for our lives, and that purpose would be exalting Jesus above all things. And Lord, we give this to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.